A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a guy who never gets rattled. I'm Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here on a Wednesday night. I believe it was 28 days ago tonight that Big Brother 18 got kicked off. And here we are heading into another live eviction tomorrow night. And two nights away from the return of either Messiah or Glenn here in Big Brother 18. So a lot to talk about. And here again, a little bit of a shuffle. Like to keep you guys on your toes. Hope we don't rattle you. Here's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
I'm great. You know, I was bred for this, yo.
Yeah. Yeah. You were bred for this. And yeah, you got to watch out for the carbs when you're bred for something. But yeah, you're bred for this.
Bred for this.
Yeah, I'm bred for this.
Yeah, I mean, I need the meat because these biceps don't feed themselves.
They don't feed themselves. That's right. Hold on. But you're going faster than the soundboard can keep up, Taryn. Anyway, really excited to get into this. Again, another interesting night where all eyes are on Mama Day following the roadkill that Tiffany won. And a little bit of a question as to who had the roadkill. Nobody thinks it's Tiffany, especially not Corey, because she's the worst player in the game. By the end of the night, we all know it is Tiffany, or they all know that it's Tiffany. And then Mama Day is on the block, and time to talk about the hair whip gate.
Yeah, I mean, that was some dangerous activity going on. They really need to start stepping in.
Yeah, dangerous activity going on. Here's hair whip gate.
Tiffany, you may think putting me on the block was the best move you've made, but let me let you know, I will outplay you. You will be going home and you're going to cry and cry and cry because all you are is a cheap knockoff version of your sister.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Got to set up hair whip gate tonight. All right. So of course, we're going to take your questions here live on the show. Hashtag RHAP. And then also on our YouTube channel at robinswebsite.com/YouTube. And of course, Alex Kidwell, who is normally here with us on a Wednesday, he will be back with us on Sunday night. So a little bit of a switcher. Who has plans? You have plans? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I'm going to be traveling.
Look at you. Look at you. Yeah. All right. So, Taryn, excited to have you back here on the show to get into everything. And I guess, why don't we just start there since I set it up, the hair whip gate. Is that a thing? Are we concerned about this? I know I've been reading that Tiffany was very upset about getting whipped with the hair of Davon when she gets up onto the nomination couch. Is this a thing that we have to look at going into Thursday?
I mean, no. I mean, it's something that something that Tiffany complained about. You know, I made the reference to James Ryan and Big Brother All-Stars, you know, like, oh, there's been harm. But clearly nothing, and obviously nothing is going to come from it.
Yeah. Of course, also, you know, Taryn's mentioning the Big Brother happy hour, from Monday night. I highly recommend it. I was running around running a bunch of errands yesterday, and I thoroughly enjoyed the, show that you guys did. I always like it when you guys fight on those shows. So that was very fun. Definitely check that out. So, all right. So we have Davon on the block. And again, I think that the roadkill, while we have roadkilled it a lot of the season, it may makes for this very interesting scenario where for the second time this season, the roadkill winner is on the block, but then somebody is joining them on the block. And it does create some of these head-to-head things where somebody is fighting for their life in the house and can pull somebody down into the abyss with them. Like, here's Tiffany fighting for her life, and then she's like, grabbing Devon and dragging, pulling her down into the pit too.
Yeah, it's like the double U-turn in An Amazing Race.
Yeah, it's like, I'm screwed. Well, now you're screwed too.
Yeah, exactly. And there, I mean, she's just, you know, she, as we saw, she's trying to bury Day before she even puts her up on the block. Just like, I need somebody to be a target here.
Yeah. So very interesting. And again, the strange bedfellows with Tiffany and Frank, which has made for very fun. Like, I always like it on any show, whether it's Big Brother or scripted TV. Two people, they weren't working together. They kind of hated each other's guts. Now they're working together for a common bond, and made for a very fun sort of setup here. For this week, we'll talk about tonight whether or not Tiffany is still on the outside looking in as she was when we talked about this. I believe it was 1 week ago tonight, Taryn, when we first did Tiffany's eulogy in this game.
Yeah, it was. And honestly, I think we're looking at, I mean, it's crazy that it's really the same situation where, you know, Polly really wants to send Tiffany home. But there's like this other appetizing target up on the block. So, definitely a lot of interesting stuff to talk about.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk through the scene from the beginning of the episode. And we had where, you know, Paulie is talking about to everybody how he really wants to get Tiffany out of the house, and he needs to go ahead and, what his plan is, that he needs to try and, rattle her to get in her head and mess with her.
And be honest, I wasn't even that wasn't even a thought in my mind.
Yeah, no, it was. It was.
No, it totally was not a thought in his mind. This was total like post ceremony justification. Like, he just totally lost his cool and then got schooled by Tiffany. Mm-hmm. And then was like, "Oh yeah, that was totally strategy and I totally got in her head, didn't I?"
Well, he says at the ceremony, he's like, so I thought I could put a hot thought in her mind to rattle her. I mean, what was he rattling her before? This is that he was going to rattle her in the veto?
But this was like, I mean, I guess so. Like she's going to be so rattled by the fact that he called her out during the ceremony. I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's clearly served no purpose, and clearly just he came out looking so terrible afterward.
Yeah, well,
bred for this.
He's bred for that. So now he ends up really, you know, pushing Tiffany away, and really that for Paulie, he's telling everybody in his alliance like, hey, okay, we got this. We don't need to worry about anything. Let's worry about next week. Everybody calm down. Really trying to calm everybody in his alliance. But there's really no calming Mama Day and Devon in these couple of days that happen from when we first have the nominations and the roadblock through when this veto renom happened.
Yeah, and there's really no reason for it. Tiffany really didn't give Day much of a reason to be paranoid about her at all. You know, Tiffany did out all the alliances except for the Fatal Five up to this point. But despite that, she was still working with Day. She still trusted Day, and she wanted to like be on board with Day moving forward. Day is the one that said like, hey, I think we can maybe get the votes to get Corey out. And so Tiffany was like, all right, like I'm working with Day. Day's probably, you know, next in line after Frank at this point. But for whatever reason, she just cannot trust Tiffany. She just thinks that she's the devil. And just cannot get out of this mindset of like, I'm super paranoid about this.
Do you feel like that Devon played herself into this situation of being the renom, and had she gone about this a different way or had played it off cooler, that you think that she would have been able to avoid being the renom?
100%. I think that this is like a very, very straightforward case of somebody was paranoid about something that they didn't need to be paranoid about. But their paranoia created the very situation that they were paranoid about in the first place. And then now that Day's nominated, she's like, see, I knew it. I knew I was right to be paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forget if it was either you or Alex that made the case about the person who's always worried that their significant other is cheating, yeah, to the point that they drive them into cheating. So I have that in my house where where I ask Nicole so many times, are you mad right now? You seem mad. Are you mad right now? And she says, I ask her that. She says, I wasn't mad. And then you asked me if I was mad enough times that I got mad.
Well, you have to be careful because sometimes they just use that as a justification.
Yes. That's what I said. Yeah. so that didn't help. And that didn't help. So let's get into a little bit more in terms of Davon and her concerns, because you had Davon in that moment where Tiffany was talking with James in the have not room where she came on, and really Davon was pretty sketchy, as we saw Tiffany point out in that moment where she came in there and was like, what was the question that she asked that really set off Tiffany?
It was like it's something about like who she was going to nominate, right? I don't even remember. It was so in and out, just like pinpoint.
Right. And then we saw where Davon was on the couch with Frank and people kept walking by and Corey walked through and they tried to talk about that they were dehydrated. And then Paul walked through and he acted like he was looking for his glasses. So it was really a bunch of different shady things that Davon was doing that really gave everybody sort of a suspicious feeling. And it's interesting that really it's funny because the side of the house that wants to get out Tiffany is also saying, boy, I have a really bad feeling about Davon right now. And then also, which are going to be the voters. And then you have the people who are working with Tiffany, like Frank, saying like, okay, we really want to get out Davon. So the opposite two sides of the house are really both have some common ground in it'd be great to get Davon out of the house.
Yeah. She went out of her way to ensure that both sides would want to like ensure that she was nominated. Like she went to Tiffany, totally sketched her out, and then went upstairs and was like, Tiffany's totally going to put me on the block. So like any conversation about Corey maybe not using the veto, they were like, oh, Day's going to go up on the block. Corey, of course you should use the veto.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just completely ensured it from both sides.
She's a uniter, not a divider in the house. That she unites the house together, no matter what their issues are. We'll talk about when we get to the live feeds what the updated vote count is and who we're looking at potentially being that fifth and final member of the Battle Back coming up on Friday night, whether it's going to be Davon or Tiffany. And if Natalie has anything to be concerned about, in the live feed segment of the show. Let's talk about this veto competition and the way that it played out, because it was a head-to-head veto competition where people could sort of go for it or not go for it. We have Corey, who ends up winning the veto competition, and extremely unlikely, considering that it was in Corey versus Tiffany. His strategy was to completely copy off of Tiffany and then try to hit the buzzer faster. Some might say he plagiarized all of her answers, Taryn.
Some might say that, but he was even unsuccessful in copying her, which turns out to be a benefit to his power of veto competition. I mean, just failure all around on Corey's part, which somehow gets him the win.
Somehow it got him the win. Somehow, though, he did figure it out where Paul was trying to have the idea of, hey, throw it to me. I'll give it to you, and then I take you off the block, and then I won't go up. Somehow, even though Paul manages to stay off of the block for the first time, but Paul was not able to pull this off and ended up
pissed.
Yeah, this whole plan is just bad on all angles. Like, why would Corey want Paul to win it and use it on him? That just like that's one less person that can go up as a replacement for Corey, which is one less person that can be that's not Nicole, right? Like Nicole is the most likely person to go up in his place, and he's just ensuring that Paul is not going to be a suitable substitute.
Are you implying that these two idiots didn't really think this through? It's like, hey, if I win the veto, then I can't go up and then you'll come down. Friendship.
I mean, I don't want to say that they didn't think it through, because clearly these guys think everything through. You know, your boy thinks everything through all the time. He is the muffin man. But then they fail at that plan too. Like they fail at everything. Like he accidentally wins against Paul. He's just like, I mean, I guess I'll just win.
Well, he said that Paul was taking too long, and then Paulie ultimately throws it to Corey so that he can come down. But let's talk about the Paul and your boy. And, you know, Paul has, you know, a number of catchphrases. Paul's like the human soundboard that he says, you know, only the same five or six things over and over and over again. And I've heard that same complaint leveled at myself from time to time. But so he does this thing all the time talking about your boy is doing this, your boy is doing that. I was extremely confused that this is like the Jimmy where he ends up walking in to talk to Frank and Tiffany. And he's like, you know, I need to know what homeboy is going to do. And and it's like, wait, who's homeboy? Who is he talking to? And I'm like, is he talking about what's going to happen? What is Paulie going to do on the renom? What is Frank going to do? Because he has won the roadblock. Like, it's very confusing when he's talking and like, hey, what is your boy going to do? What is homeboy going to do? Like, who is he talking about?
I don't know. And I'm sure there's a my boy too, right? Like, there's too many boys in this house. Let's just kill all the boys. We don't need any boys. We can just talk about people with the proper, you know, pronouns, and he can say I instead of your boy, right? Like, we don't need your boy. It's driving me crazy.
Right. Like, if Paul ends up, he's in the house, he's like, okay, so your boy, my boy, and homeboy are going to go in the backyard. And I'm like, hold on. Who's there? Do you want to be in an alliance with my boy? Wait, hold on.
Maybe it's intentional. Maybe he's getting away with like just saying vague names every time, and he's just letting other people assume who he's talking about.
Like, hey, it's just so you know, your boy is coming after you this week. Like, oh my God, what do I do? What do I do? Like, who should I put on the block? Well, definitely put homeboy on the block. Like, wait, hold on. So this could be very tricky.
Yeah, you know, I'm okay with friendship. Pissed. Like, whatever. Pissed, you know, whatever. That's fine. Like, those are intentional. The your boy thing, just like, it really grates on me. Just like, please. It's like, it's almost worse than referring to yourself in the third person. Like, if he said like Paul every time, I think I'd mind it less.
Yeah. Now, is it more confusing or less confusing because there's two Pauls? So then we have two Pauls, unlimited boys, your boys, my boys. So we'll see. Do you have a nickname for yourself, Taryn?
Taz, I guess. Yeah,
besides Taz. Okay. All right. So I'm not sure which one of the live feed correspondents attempting to be your live feed correspondent.
your live feed correspondent here. How's it going, guys?
Okay.
I bake muffins. Don't get pissed.
Yeah, don't get pissed. All right. So following what happened in the veto competition, Corey wins it. And there's some talk about whether or not Corey should save himself or the possibility of Nicole going up on the block. I mean, how far did that conversation actually play out?
Not very far. You know, it's one of those things where the idea comes to somebody and they kind of like, you know, you could not use it because, you know, Nicole might go up on the block and, you know, what would be the point? But it's one of those, it doesn't ever get very far because nobody is ever going to not use it on themselves again ever since Marcellus.
I think it's going to happen.
If it was going to happen, it would be on a season like this with like people who have no idea about the game. The problem is that these vets came in and were able to be like, God, no, don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Taryn, in terms of the edit and what we saw tonight, do you feel like that Paulie is getting more of the villain edit for the season?
I think so. I think that Tiffany is getting this underdog thing, and we're seeing Paulie in the diary room, you know, calling her out in the veto ceremony thing, just like being so aggressive. And we're not really even seeing a reason why he's being so aggressive against Tiffany. I think we're supposed to see him as being overly aggressive, which is what he's been doing on the feed. So yeah. It's pretty accurate.
I mean, that seems pretty faithful to what you guys have been talking about on the live feeds. Do you feel like that this season overall has done a pretty accurate job of depicting the story of this season? I know we've had a lot with the pranks early on, and certainly with the showmances. But it sounds like that even of late, we have more and more of the showmances showing up on the live feeds than even on the live show, where, you know, going back to like the Big Brother 14 stuff, where it was like the showmances are all over the TV show and not really on the feeds. I feel like that the show has done a pretty good job this season.
It has. You know, there haven't been a lot of moments where I've been like, whoa, this is totally different from what I saw, especially coming off of Big Brother Canada 4, where it was just like totally different all the time. Mm-hmm. I think the closest thing is probably giving Day as much credit as they did for the Tiffany flip, when really it was largely Michelle and ultimately Frank. But that's the closest thing. And even that wasn't super inaccurate because Day was a fair part of the first attempt. So it has been very accurate.
And even in terms of who they're making look good versus who they're making look bad, I feel like that this is a season that has been pretty even handed with all of that. Would you say, is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, we're seeing Davon be her, you know, great diary room self, but be terrible in the game. Instead of, you know, pretending that she's, you know, been put up in a totally unjustified way and that, you know, she's a robbed queen or whatever, we're seeing the accurate picture. You know, she's not doing well in the game, but she's still entertaining. And that's how it is.
And even the Frank stuff, I feel like, you know, they're probably maybe, you know, 4 or 5 days behind the curve on the TV show from what we're seeing on the feeds. But we were all talking about how Frank started out great. You guys did a lot of reporting around the 4th of July about how, boy, Frank is getting really very aggressive and arrogant in the house. And then that was depicted on the show. And then he's sort of come back from that. And we've seen that reflected on the TV show. So I have to say, you know, in other seasons where we're saying like, oh, they're making this person out to look so great, and this person out to look not as great, that in a season maybe where nobody looks great, they've done a good job of, you know, keeping it even handed.
Yeah, very much so. And you know, I really feel like there's some sort of like twin twist with Frank, where it's just like he is a totally different person when he's the underdog. He just works so well in that role. It's like again, I am not a Frank fan, but I see him on the episode, I'm like, yeah, go Frank, do work. It's crazy the difference.
Yeah. Now, this Friday night, we're going to have the Battle Back live show, which is going to be live for us. I think they're going to be taping the Battle Back, I think, right after the Thursday night episode. So it's going to be a little unclear what we're going to see on Thursday night. But myself, Taryn, and Alex will be live at 9:15 p.m. Eastern time to talk about the person that comes back into the house. A little bit of an update on the live feed. So I believe the feeds are going to go out following Thursday's show. And I don't believe the feeds are going to be coming back until the end of Friday's show. Taryn, do you know? Is that right? Does that coincide with what you've been hearing?
I haven't heard specifics, but I have heard that the feeds are going to be out for an extended period of time. So that is what I would assume it will be come Thursday.
So it sounds like what we're going to have, maybe the HOH competition in the Thursday night episode, and then maybe keep Julie on the set and then run through those Battle Back competitions, which kind of stinks for the live feeds where we don't get to see like the first like 24 hours of Glenn's return to the house and like what's going to happen there when we come back and just like Glenn is just running everything and everybody is just like deferring to Glenn on all decisions in the house.
No, what's going to happen is Glenn's going to come back in, and then within 24 hours, he's going to be kicked from the game, and we're still not going to see Glenn on the feeds.
He'll get like the Willy Hance in the first like 24 yeah. hours. Like he's like, I've been in a hotel room alone for 36 days.
Yes, exactly.
I've forgotten what it's like to be around people.
Going to go crazy with a hammer, and it's going to be bye-bye Glenn.
Yeah, hashtag beast mode Glenn. So we'll see what happens on there. So just from a programming perspective, then we'll have no live update on Friday morning because we won't have any information from the feeds overnight. But instead, we will be live with our podcast on Friday night when we talk about the person who comes back into the game. So very, very exciting to see how that's all going to play out. So then we ended up with that whole last bit of the show where we ended up with Davon ultimately being the decision for the renomination from Tiffany. So, I mean, how much did that get more heated on the feeds between Tiffany and Davon before the renom? And was Davon 100% convinced of that she was going to go up on the block?
It wasn't super heated. I mean, I think that she knew ahead of time because Tiffany had kind of gone around and let it be known. But there wasn't like a huge blow up between them before the ceremony.
Okay. I want to get into taking some questions before we get into talking about the live feeds. Anything else that you noticed or observed from tonight's episode of the show?
I don't think so. I mean, other than this Muffin Man segment, I thought that was pretty great, right?
What was your favorite part of Muffin Man?
I love watching people just improve incrementally. So I loved seeing, you know, each muffin batch was better than the last. I was just like, I want to see a whole episode about muffins.
Yes. Who's Muffin?
What does Muffin think, though?
Who's Muffin? That's right. All right, let's get into some questions. And hashtag RHAP, BB Janie, how upset would Bridget be? Was Bridget even on the show tonight? No, I think like no Bridget, no Michelle, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think maybe we got like a Cabbage Patch reference in the like what happened before, but
mm-hmm. And to be fair, no Zakiya either.
Yeah.
Okay. BB Janie, how upset would Bridget be to know that Paul got a baking segment and she didn't? I think that the answer is that she would be
pissed.
Yes, we finally have it, so I don't have to like fail to mimic it. Yeah, that's actually what I was thinking during this. I was like, why is Paul getting a baking segment and Bridget is like the baker, like the cook for the entire house, and she gets nothing? But, you know, that's what happens when you're the charismatic wild card.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and the chat room is correcting me. Zakiya did host the POV.
Oh, did she?
Yes. So there you go.
Very memorable.
Oh, Rachel Riley, who's been watching the show. And shout out to, is it my boy or your boy, Brendan, who's been in the chat room? I guess it's my boy.
That would be my boy.
My boy.
Brendan's awesome.
Yes.
He's my boy.
Why doesn't anyone seem to want to play Big Brother right now? Is it just me thinking this? Okay. Yeah. Rachel calling out these floaters. They need to get a life vest.
Yeah. They're playing Big Baby.
Yes. Yes.
Bread for this.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going. Wes Mackin says, Paulie is accomplishing the near impossible. I'm starting to root for frickin' Frank. Yes.
I'm telling you, it's the twin twist.
We love
There's
Frank.
Two versions. There's two Franks. There's light and dark.
Yes. Frank is our new messiah.
I'm like a messiah for the newbies.
Just don't give him power again.
Yeah. But he can't not get in power. So eventually he will. And then he'll get HOH. But if Frank got HOH, hypothetically, let's say that it's okay. Because Davon's is big. Let's say hypothetically Davon goes home on Thursday. Who would Frank put up if he won HOH?
If Davon went home, he would probably put up, maybe Zakiya and like Michelle. He wants to go after the girls.
That's boring. Yeah. Miriam says, was Day's lie to Paul more or less shocking than Weed Gate? Now, I believe it was Hair Whip Gate, right? What are we calling that?
Yeah, I think Hair Whip Gate is better.
Yeah, the thing with Frank, when she sat down with him, and she doesn't ever give Frank any reason to trust her.
No, and like she clearly doesn't even want to be sitting down with him. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, she's like, I want to just sit here and do whatever. I forget what she was doing.
Yeah, she was
I
like, just hey, let's just like work together for Thursday. He's like, okay, well, tell me something.
it's the same thing. Like, he was asking her like who the votes were in the last episode or whatever, and she just doesn't give him anything. Like, it's very, very superficial, this kind of like, I'll totally work with you.
I mean, Big Brother is such a game of half truths, and like you have to make people feel like you're feeding them something. As any cook in the house, like Paul would know, not Bridget, you have to at least, even if it's not the good stuff, you have to make people feel like you're giving them something.
Yeah, and just she doesn't give anything.
Yeah, even if it's the Miss Lippy drives a green car, you know, you need some put something out there. You can't say, well, sorry, Frank, I can't tell you anything.
Yeah, like half the time she's giving people way too much, and she shouldn't. And then the other half she's just giving them nothing. So it's just, there's no chill.
Yeah, no, she has no chill, zero chill for Davon. Martin Schmidt says, are the house guests that are not in a showmance in the most danger? How did this happen? Yeah. Is the new not being in a showmance, or is the new being in a showmance not being in a showmance?
Yes, I guess.
Yeah. So which is it? Is not being in a showmance the new showmance, or is being in a showmance the new not being in a showmance? I think being in a showmance is the new not being in a showmance.
I can pretend that I followed that, but I mean, we'd get nowhere.
Yeah. Is it better to be in a showmance or not be in a showmance right now in Big Brother 18?
Better to be in a showmance okay. right now because they're running the house.
Yeah, that's right. All right, let's do one more and then let's get into the live feeds. Kimberly says, does Davon's twist people's words for strategy, or is she just reading into things that weren't there? I can't decide. So, or is it both?
I think it's both. I think that Davon is a very perceptive player. That's always been her strength. But it gets to the point where she's so perceptive that she starts to see things that aren't there. It's like part of the reason why she's so perceptive, part of the reason why she was able to suss out those twins is because she also called that, like, Johnny Mac was a twin, right? Like, she has a lot of wrong theories, and sometimes she hits on the right ones.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's Davon as a player.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more. This is from Marissa G. Davon's downfall last season was chipping her alliance away and having trust issues with the house guests she pushed away. Will this be deja vu? And that's a leading contender for a hashtag right there.
Yeah, totally. This is exactly what we saw from Davon last time. You know, she had a bit of a head start this time, but it has not been enough. And we're seeing her game falter
okay.
in very much the same way.
All right. I want to get into the live feeds and talk through the latest for how this vote is shaping up for Thursday in what could potentially be a fluid situation if last week was any indication. So we're going to get into that with Taryn. Of course, we'll be live again 10:15 p.m. Eastern time, myself and Brent going through all of that. Plus, we'll have the Battle Back special coming up on Friday night. And if you missed it, you haven't heard, our 13 archetypes of Big Brother 18 with AJ Mass is available on robinswebsite.com. That is no spoilers for this week in terms of the live feeds in that one, if you want to check that out. And so, without further ado, let's get into the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, that was Morse code live feeds. Okay, so Taryn, let's get into talking about Thursday night's votes. All right, so tell us, give us what the live feed, be the Nate Silver of Thursday night. How's this vote shaping up?
The vote is shaping up to be a Tiffany eviction. Frank has been incessantly pushing Pauly to, he's practically begging at this point. Just please, please, can we evict Davon instead of Tiffany? Pauly he's not a fan of Davon. He wants Davon gone, but he will not and cannot budge from this Tiffany position. He is so terrified of looking like a fool.
And be honest, that wasn't even a thought in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He cannot get past this idea that if Tiffany stays, he's going to look like an idiot for letting Vanessa's sister, get one over on him. And he will not hear anything about Tiffany staying, despite how much it's being pushed by Frank. Corey is now pushing it. Nicole wants it too, but Pauly is holding his ground. And it seems as though that's going to stick until the vote.
But not for anything. I mean, he breaks a tie and it's going to be what? Four, eight people vote. So the tie is in play, but I mean, can't people make up their minds for themselves?
They could, but that's not really how Nicole's playing the game right now. She has talked with Corey she's talked with Corey about how if they wanted to, they could just flip the vote and keep Tiffany, but they don't want to do it without Pauly's consent.
Yeah, because if you go behind my back, I'm going to be really mad about all of this.
Pissed!
Yeah, I'll be pissed too. So, Taryn, it really seems as though the showmances in the house seem to be heating up. Is love in the air even more so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, every single one of them, to an extent. So, Yeah, I mean, Nicole
is this
and Corey,
Big Brother 18 or coupled?
It's coupled for sure. Nicole and Corey getting very, very cozy together. I mean, we just saw her crying in the diary room at just him being nominated, which was just kind of gross. Mm-hmm. and as I mentioned, very cozy together. We're seeing Natalie and James get a lot closer as well. Where Nicole and Corey are kind of gross, Natalie and James kind of adorable.
Oh.
But totally like removed from the game. Like they're just like totally focused on each other at this point. They have no idea even like what's going on. At one point, Davon was talking to James and she was like, "We got to get the showmances out." He was like, "I'm in a showmance."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, no, not you. No, that's not what I meant." And then we have Polly and Zakiya, and Zakiya had wants to get closer to Polly. Corey had to have a conversation with Polly.
Bread for this.
Yeah.
About Zakiya, saying, you know, Zakiya really wants you to kiss her. And Polly was like, "Oh, no, I'm not kissing anybody." He's like, "Oh, you got to pretend that it's really hard for you to not kiss
her. In my
her.
Family, we don't just kiss anybody, Taryn. We have no kissing policy around here.
All about the cuddle.
Yeah. I only kiss my brother and my dad. I'm not going to go kiss Zakiya."
Exactly. And Zakiya is getting very, very jealous about Polly's relationship with some other women in the house, particularly Natalie.
Yes. What about hide and go seek gate?
They played some hide and go seek, and it was very funny, you know, being on Twitter, watching people talk about it. They were like, oh, Polly's hiding under the bed with Natalie. We just know Zakiya is going to have a whole earful about this. And, you know, what do you know? She does, you know, very upset about the fact that, you know, like hiding under bed with Natalie. And it's just, I mean, it's ridiculous because Natalie has no interest in Polly and Polly has no interest in Natalie. But you know, she's really just, she's got her head wrapped around this thing. She's talking about, you know, "I don't want to just be a way for him to pass time in this house." Both her and Nicole, a lot of what they talk about are their boyfriends, and their head is just not in the game right now.
Yeah, no, it's very frustrating, because this is not The Bachelor. These people are, it seems like very little talk about the game other than, okay, this is just the one person we need to be focused on. And that's all there is right now.
It's funny that you say The Bachelor, because, James was talking to Natalie and they were both like, "Oh man, aren't you glad you didn't go on The Bachelor? You'd have had to kiss like 25 guys in order to find the one." And she was like, "Yeah, now I just had to cuddle with two, and then I found you."
Oh, but again, well, I guess then maybe there could be some intrigue in the return of Victor into the house if he was going to come back, because I do feel like that he is probably somebody with an inside track, I think, on this battle back come Friday night.
Definitely. That's something they've talked about. James is like, "If Victor comes back, I'm sending him right back out."
Yeah, that's the one thing that really could make James wake up.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So we'll see how that goes. It's sort of frustrating also, you know, with these showmances. I mean, is Corey into Nicole?
It's hard to tell, you know, like it's certainly not to the extent that Nicole is into Corey. Nicole is constantly talking about Corey, mm-hmm. saying like, "He's way too good looking for me. I don't deserve him. I don't know why he's with me." It's really just like, it's hard to hear. And meanwhile, like Corey is talking about like how to successfully play the girls, like make sure you pretend that you really want to kiss Zakiya. He's talked about like, oh, like lying about how many women he slept with. And like, it definitely seems a bit one-sided, which is part of what makes it so not adorable.
And it's the same thing on the Polly and Zakiya side, right? Where he's
Zakiya very much wants Polly to be more invested than he is. And he's just not willing.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't these women wake up in the house? They were running things.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, Nicole was more cutthroat on Big Brother 16 than she is on her second time around. It's crazy to me that somebody could come back a second time and be like less cutthroat, like more wrapped up in some crazy showmance than their first time around. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is very hard to watch with these, you know, guys leading the doting girlfriends to the slaughter here, potentially.
I mean, even Andy on Twitter, who's like best friends with Nicole, is just like, "I love you, Nicole, but I need to get in that house and just slap some sense into you." And that's exactly how I feel, because I really like Nicole's chances. I like her position in the game, but she just needs to start getting down to business.
Yeah. Get some cold showers. Maybe we need some people to be have-nots.
I mean, they haven't mentioned the have-nots like on the show at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Taryn, 1 week ago, we talked about, okay, Tiffany was definitely going out of the house, and it certainly looks that way again Thursday night. So what do we need to have happen to have a repeat of last week where people overnight decide to save Tiffany once again?
Nicole is talking about having Tiffany call Davon out in front of the house, have some sort of big blow up, expose Davon, hoping that that will either give her an excuse to just kind of switch the vote at the last second, or get Polly on board with sending Davon out. Because Nicole wants this so bad and Corey wants this so bad, there are definitely ways that they can make it happen. And then we also have, you know, as a way of getting Polly on board, Frank, who has been pushing so incessantly, he just needs to find a way to present the case to Polly as like, look, you feel like if Tiffany stays that she's getting one over on you, but it's not that's not the case. The case is that Davon is getting one over on you. He needs to figure out a way to make Polly feel like he'll look like a fool if Davon stays when he had a chance to get rid of her. And that, because that's what Polly's main concern is.
Let me just play devil's advocate here for a second, because I do feel like that it is in the best interest of the players like Polly and company to take Tiffany out. Because, and again, they don't know that she potentially could be coming back. And I think that you guys laid out a pretty delicious scenario, maybe almost as delicious as a steak.
This is a damn good steak.
But a delicious scenario where that Polly pushes so hard to get Tiffany out of the house, and then she's the person who comes back into the game with the battle back. But Davon, we've talked about, is a severely flawed player who has almost no allegiances from anybody in the house. And Tiffany, we don't know what she's capable of. That she has that Russo gene where she can pull off the improbable. And while she may not have a lot of trust currency from players in the house, you have to feel like that as a player, her upside is a lot higher than Davon. Isn't she the bigger threat? Isn't she the bigger person that you would want to get out of the house if you were on that whatever showmance alliance that we have on that side of the house?
100%. I think that Tiffany has to go at this point, especially given how hard Polly has already pushed it. I don't think
plus she's aligned with Frank.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like Frank keeps making the mistake of saying, if Davon stays, then I'll go after Davon next week, which is just like, okay, so that gives me a lot of incentive to keep Davon in the game so that you're focused on her and she's still focused on you. So Frank is not winning any favors that way. But you're absolutely right. Tiffany is the correct decision. But Polly's mindset, his reason for targeting her in the first place was a bad one. Like the way that he went about it was false. But now that he's committed to this path, he is committed to the path. There's no way around this where he gets out ahead of the game if Tiffany stays.
Okay, let's jump back into some questions. And so Oak Tree says, can you ever remember when so many, led by Vanessa-obsessed Polly, thought that someone, i.e. Tiffany, was so big a threat when she was, in fact, the opposite? See, I don't see it the same way that Tiffany is so not a threat. I mean, I feel like, especially in this house in particular, I think she's a pretty big threat, right?
I don't think she's a huge threat. I don't think she's as much of a threat. I think that
in this
what's
house,
happening-
though, in this house, I mean, could you argue that she's not one of the top four players in this game?
I don't think she's necessarily a top four player. I think that she's being built up to be like very much like her sister. But, you know, we've seen that she wasn't very capable of maintaining an alliance around her. And part of that is the stigma of Vanessa, right? Like she's practically handicapped. Like even if she was a very talented player, the handicap of being Vanessa's sister right after Vanessa played is really hindering her. And it's not enabling her to play the kind of game that maybe she would be capable of. I do think that she's dangerous in the sense that, like, if you make it obvious that you're going to come for her, she's going to do everything that she can to bury you. But nobody listens to her in the house. Every single time she tries to get somebody on their side, it doesn't work because all of her capital is just spent or just wasn't there in the first place because of her sister.
Okay. And is Davon a top eight player in the game?
how many people are left? You know, Davon, she's not a very good player, but she is somebody that you don't want. You don't want her against you because she's going to spin as much as she can. And she is somebody that can get into some people's ears, like James, like maybe even Zakiya, people like that. I don't think that she's a threat to people like Polly. I think that even Nicole, I don't think Nicole needs to worry about Day nearly as much as she is. But yeah, I mean, I think the decision is obvious between Day and Tiffany. Like, you need to send Tiffany out.
Okay, let's take a few more questions. This is from Hunter Clark. Will Paulie ever be evicted, or will he basically just steamroll everyone? Well, I think the answer to that is easy.
Bred for this.
He's bred for this.
Yeah, he's the best at the game. He's won all the competitions. Nobody else is going to win the competitions. He's talked about how, like, you know, once we get, you know, like Frank out of the house, there's nobody that can stop us. We're just going to win all the competition.
Here's what I'm going to do. Frank, I'm going to rattle him. I'll rattle him. I'll rattle you. I'll rattle Nicole. And then I'll get to the end. And then, just like my brother Cody, then I'll go ahead and I'll win over the jury and I'll win Big Brother.
That's his plan. I honestly would not be surprised to see Polly leave as soon as next week.
Whoa.
I think that the wrong person wins HOH and Polly could be gone. I think that he's due for a moment where somebody who's not in his alliance wins power and they go, wait a minute, who's been running this game this whole time? Polly has exerted way too much control over the house. He's the most dangerous player. We're going to take a huge shot and we're going to take out Polly.
Wow. That would be something, Taryn, but I think you're weaving some major fan fiction potentially with that one.
I'm saying it's a possibility. If something
I'm
happens,
I'm like a storyteller. That's what I do.
If something happens, like Tiffany goes out and comes back in, I think she could gun for Polly. I think that if Frank wins power and, you know, starts targeting somebody like Davon, and Davon says, hold on, Paulie's been talking about targeting you this whole time. And it's not like, I mean, obviously Frank isn't the most, he isn't the sharpest tool in this Big Brother shed, but it could very much happen where the tables get turned on him very quickly. That's what happens in this house. If you are in power for too long, they can get turned. I think that it takes a minority, an unlikely HOH win, but I do think it's possible. And if it doesn't happen next week, I do think it'll happen relatively soon.
So you're saying the type of thing, maybe like a black swan event, like a man coming back into the house who has only been in the house for 2 days.
Look, everybody, I've been in a hotel room for 36 nights. I've got this plan on the back of this cocktail napkin. I'm ready. I'm ready to come back. We need to take Paulie out.
It's absolutely a black swan type thing.
Category 4. I've drew it up. They were the ones. They won that night. We got to get them out of the house. That's Cody's brother.
He has a whole Glenn diagram written up.
I've got a whole Glenn diagram on the back of this napkin. From the boogie down Bronx all the way to the battle back.
Yeah, you thought you were friends with Boogie? I'm from the boogie down Bronx. I boogie down.
Yeah, that's one dog that I'm about to give a major haircut.
All right.
I was groomed man. For this. All right.
Sarah Cal says, do we think that the returning house guests will play in the HOH? Hence, HOH is not being able to be played out on the Thursday night show. I think that the conventional wisdom on this is that we're going to see HOH play out. And then we're going to have, following that, Julie is going to come back and give them the announcement. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to do the battle back coming up after this. And then that will guarantee a week of safety for the battle back participants. Is that how you see it as well, Taryn?
It does seem like the most likely outcome. It's not something that Big Brother US has really done in the past. It's definitely a Big Brother Canada move. But with the setup where it's being aired Friday instead of before the HOH competition, it does seem like that's kind of the only option.
Yeah, it's just going to be so great when we get to see. I mean, this is going to be like when in Survivor, when they used to do the rites of passage where we'd go see everybody's torch on the way through just to get to see one Glenn one more time, the Messiah one more time, Victor, and then Bronte one more time. And then whoever goes out on Thursday, it'll be so great. I'm so pumped up for the battle back.
Yeah, I heard you have some tailgating planned.
Yes, yes. Yes, I'm going to be all day long. I'm going to be barbecuing and getting ready and working on a steak.
This is a damn good steak.
Yes. Yes.
July Madness.
July Madness. All right. Let's do one or two more. Ram 010992. If I just started watching the show last Thursday, starting with Tiff's eviction speech, I would have thought the dictator she was talking about is Paulie. Who really has the most pull in the house?
Well, I mean, Frank never had pull in the house.
Yes.
I mean, Paulie, absolutely. Paulie has the most pull in the house right now. And that's why I think he's in trouble.
All right. We'll see who the new dictator is going to be. And then Eddie Johnson says, does being the muffin man help Paul?
Fist!
Of course it does. Who doesn't love the Muffin Man? Here comes the Muffin Man.
Yeah, and the Muffin Paul. Tops or the Muffin Bottom?
Well, it's got to be the tops.
Yes, got to be the Muffin Tops.
All right, the tops.
So we will see exactly what happens. Victor coming back really is going to blow up Paul's game too. Like Victor coming back is really going to just throw the whole house for a monkey wrench.
Yeah, I think Victor coming back is like worst case scenario for everyone involved, because I think it's legitimately going to be the kind of thing where like it might just unite the house against Victor for a week, and it's just going to be like really boring.
Yeah. Do you think that the Messiah returning to the house would create fireworks? Do you think everyone would just be against him?
I don't think people will be against him. I think that the myth of the Messiah has turned to like, how pathetic was he? I think that the
trust me. Like,
exactly. I think he'll go back in and people will be like, oh my God, it's Jose. How funny. And he'll be just, he'll,
I don't even remember who was Jose against. Who was he coming after?
He was against Nicole and the
vet. Oh yeah, that's right. He's against Nicole. So would he join with Frank? Would Frank and Tiffany pick him up and Bridget and Natalie?
I think everybody would be trying to pick him. I think he would be the belle of the ball. Everybody would want to pick up the Messiah.
I'm like a Messiah for the newbies.
Yes.
Yeah. What a great final two go.
Yeah. Oh man, it just has so much intrigue coming up. Really, I mean, I think we've outlined a case where anybody that comes back has like a real shot. Like, you know, it could be either a second life for Tiffany. You outlined the case with the live feed correspondence on the Happy Hour. Why Bronte is in a great spot if she comes back. Victor, yeah, that would probably be boring, but at least it might shake up James and Natalie and get James to like, I got to go all out to win the HOH this week. I got to get Victor out of the house and get a little bit of the.
I love blood. Okay. All right. Well. I'll take blood and I wiped it like war paint.
Yeah.
So and shining armor.
Yeah. I gotta defend Natalie against Victor. So maybe that's probably the least intriguing, but at least there's something. Jose would be so exciting. I mean, Jose also, don't forget, has been locked up in a hotel room for 20 days now.
he's the hotel Messiah.
Yeah, he's just been sitting in some hotel room like doing crunches and lunges for 20 days. And then of course then you have Glenn, who's been out of the house for 27 days.
Jose's gonna come back and he's gonna be like, guys, basically when I was in the hotel, I was basically the Messiah of the staff there. So yeah. I'm pretty big deal.
He was like the CEO of the hotel.
I'm CEO in my mind.
All right.
Barack Obama.
Yeah. All right. So after tomorrow night or after Friday night, maybe we clear out some of these Jose sound clips from along the way. All right. Taryn, anything else?
I don't think so. There really hasn't been a whole lot going on this week. It's mostly just been Frank pushing for Tiffany to go. It's the same conversation over and over with Paulie.
Okay. Well, we should get off the live feeds or the live airwaves. My phone is telling me Russell Hance has just gone live on Periscope, so I'm sure that will be. Really, I would love to have Russell Hance live Periscope correspondence as well to work into the fold of you guys.
Wasn't there a Brandon Hance correspondent?
There was, but then I felt like that felt like a little icky to be covering the ins and outs of what Brandon Hance was doing, and maybe the grown up Hance we should just follow. All right. So the hashtag has to be what? Deja vu?
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty strong. So thank you again for that, actually.
Thank you for that, actually.
So good work with that. We will be live again tomorrow night, 10:15 p.m. each time. And Tan, I have to say that this, you know, this season I felt like started out slow, but I'm getting more and more thumbs up on this season of Big Brother.
It's definitely fun to talk about.
It's not necessarily the best gameplay, but I feel like it's provided for some lively podcasting.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, hopefully with many, many more Messiah references.
I hope so. I hope so. Anyway, thanks everybody who's joining us here live during the show and in the chat. Always fun to hear what you guys are saying as we go along. And we'll be back once again for another live show. And if you haven't checked out the Happy Hour, I thought it was a very fun show. I feel like I always enjoy it every Monday live or in the podcast feed on robasawebsite.com. And then you could also check out the AJ Mass 13 Archetypes show that we did as well. So a lot more to come. Thanks, everybody. And love to hear what you guys have to say in the comments. Talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.